Let's get to my buddy Arthur Griffiths.
We will, because it's been 30 years since Wayne Gretzky was traded, along with others, of course. Mike Krushelnicki, Marty McZorley, to the Los Angeles Kings for $15 million, three first-rounders. Marty Jelen also going back the other way. Joining us right now to share his memories on what went down 30 years ago, he is the former owner of the Vancouver Canucks. He was in the room, and we will talk about that with him right now. He is Arthur Griffiths. Good morning, Arthur. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great. So we'll get to this right off the top, Arthur. Just how close was this to getting done in 88? How close was Wayne Gretzky to being a Vancouver Canuck 30 years ago?
Well, I guess we start with what we put on the table and where we were in the negotiations versus what we subsequently learned LA was. Clearly, the players involved, we didn't have perhaps the biggest stable of players, so we were up against that, and we were up against the monetary side, as it turns out. You know, we were being asked to spend money that was unheard of in terms of salaries at that time, you know, but we also recognized the value there in Wayne. And the fact is that we were in the game, I suppose, is the way to put it. We had a city that he's familiar with. Of course, we had Nelson Scalvania and in the background helping us, persuade him perhaps to come here is the best way I would put it. But we were being asked to offer his father a position with the club. Long term, Wayne had wanted to be in management, and he also wanted to be an owner. The fact is, at the time, we couldn't agree to the ownership side of things because it was prohibited by the National Hockey League at the time. So we had to take that off the table as a request. But we were close. I think we were close in one sense. But then when he stopped to look at it, and rightfully so, in hindsight, his business was based on. The fact that he is a businessman and he had a better opportunity to make a better living financially in California than in Vancouver or frankly virtually anywhere else.
You mentioned the fact that maybe the stable of players you had didn't really match up to what LA was offering, and they gave away, a lot of people forget, the Kings gave away a 50-goal scorer in Jimmy Carson to Edmonton in the deal. Vancouver's leading point getters at that time were Tony Tanti, Greg Adams, Barry Peterson, Petri Strico, Stan Smeal. But just a few months before the actual trade was made, Arthur, the Canucks drafted Trevor Linden, second overall.
Yeah.
Did the Oilers at all express interest if there was a deal to be made with Vancouver that maybe the Canucks give up on their most recent first-round pick?
We didn't get that far. What we were dealing with was certainly the known players, that some of which you mentioned. I think at the end it came down to more financial than players on our end. And don't forget our dollar was as it seems to be from time to time a great disadvantage. So we were up against the U.S. dollar in California, in a city like L.A. that offered so much more opportunity. So. The player side of things, we didn't have we weren't talking about Trevor at the time, but there were other, some of which you mentioned that were involved, yes.
Arthur, it's a rather unique deal how it was struck, because compared to most deals in today's NHL, this was Peter Pocklington dealing with Bruce McNall. Yep. Obviously, Glenn Sather was GM in Edmonton, but in Vancouver's case, you were part of the ownership family, but Pat Quinn was the GM of the club at the time. Who all would have been involved from Vancouver's perspective in this? Was this just ownership to ownership, or would Pat have been heavily involved in talks?
No, it was management. That's how we operated. Certainly we were abreast of it all. It was never, not the scenario that unfolded in Edmonton at all. That's not how we operated. It was management to management in this case.
Arthur Griffiths, former Vancouver Canucks owner, joining us on the starting lineup on Sportsnet 650. Arthur, we played some audio earlier of Mark Messier. He found out on the golf course when this trade went down. Did you find out on August 9th like everybody else, or when did you know that Wayne Gretzky to Vancouver was not going to happen?
Well, we found out the same day, but we knew we were. Let me put it this way: we weren't surprised at all. We did not know it was L.A. That we were. I guess we learned at the same time as others, but we knew we were giving it our best shot, but we knew we weren't going to win at the end of the day. There seemed to be just too many other things going on. So it went quiet for a bit, and then all of a sudden it was announced, rightfully so.
And there was three first-round picks that were involved in this deal. Considering how first-round picks are valued today, how does the idea of that sound to you now? Because I was wrapping my head around that yesterday. I can't imagine any trade now in the NHL where three first-round picks are involved. Can you just give a sense of how the game has changed in that way and how teams used to deal with future assets?
Well, you know, I guess we have to look at where you think your team will end up in the league, and to your point about first-round picks. In those days, a first-round pick was, it wasn't nearly as secure as they are today in terms of capacity to play at this league. There were many, many players in the 80s and 90s that were drafted in the first round, including first-round picks, who actually virtually didn't get a cup of coffee in the NHL. So nowadays, that's highly unlikely. So to the extent that the players are different, and then don't forget, I mean, let's put it another way. Wayne, best player ever to play the game, Wayne had the ability to transform your team on and off the ice. And so even in this day and age, I'm quite sure someone would be very likely to look at trading their first-round picks for a player of that ilk. But there's just nobody out there like that.
Former Vancouver Canucks owner Arthur Griffiths joining us here on the starting line up on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. You know, a lot's transpired since that deal went down 30 years ago. Your team was able to, you know, find itself again, trend the upward direction, make it all the way to a cup final in 94. But looking back, and I know sometimes on a day like this where time just flies by, have you ever found yourself, Arthur, sitting, boy, I wonder what life would have been like if number 99 had worn a Canucks uniform?
Well, there was, you know, two shots at it, as we know. So the answer is yes. But I think there are other moves that we made, positively and negatively, that keep me awake more than this one. Because, again, you can only hope that your surrounding cast would have been not depleted on one hand and been able to benefit from someone like Wayne, that he clearly makes everybody better. But, yeah, we certainly occasionally think about it. And of course, on a day like today, we do think about it perhaps more often. But, you know, Wayne would have been an amazing ambassador for our team, more importantly, player. And the fact of the matter is, it would be a great story for our generations of hockey fans in Vancouver and potentially even winning the Stanley Cup as he almost did down in L.A.
There was 21 teams in the league at the time, Arthur. Now there's three teams in California alone. How do you think the landscape of the NHL would have looked if Wayne stayed on this side of the border, be it Edmonton or in Vancouver?
Well, I'd like to think that I could predict what that would have looked like. But the fact of the matter is, we don't really know. And it's just, but in the other side of that is, we clearly are seeing players now coming into the NHL that are born in Florida, in California, and Arizona, and they're elite players, and they have found their love of the game through players like Wayne moving to California, and then of course the team. So I think it's not a stretch at all to suggest that the reason the league has successful franchises in some of the warmer climates, if you will, is in large part to the move that Wayne had to LA, and I don't think there's any question in my mind that that's a big part of it, and including the fact that subsequently to this move, teams started to, you know, expand to Florida, and eventually those markets embraced the team as well, or the game.
A few more moments here with former Vancouver Canucks owner Arthur Griffiths joining us here on Sportsnet 650. As mentioned, 30 years goes by. At that time, 30 years ago, Trevor Linden was brought into the Canucks family. 30 years later, he's no longer a part of the family. We haven't had a chance to talk to you, Arthur, since the news came down when the Canucks and Linden parted ways. What was your reaction when you heard that news that ownership and Linden were no longer tied together?
I haven't been asked the question yet on television or radio, and I'm still stunned. I'm shocked. I have no explanation. There isn't one to that I can think of. I mean, I can understand, as we all can, that Trevor has a family and a young child now, and I can understand spending more time in that regard. But they knew that when they were having their child, so it's not like that was a surprise. So I'm surprised. I'm just totally surprised. I don't understand it. I'd sure like to figure out what it's all about. But you know, people make decisions and they have their reasons. But I've just I'm sad, to be honest with you.
Where do you think Trevor Linden goes from here? You've known him longer than most in this marketplace. He was a player, an executive. He was also out of the game for quite some time. Do you think it's going to be some time before we hear from one of the greatest Canucks of all time?
In the sense of back into the game or just being on the media?
Yeah, both.
I think he'll take a little time. I don't doubt, you know, Trevor's a very, very focused guy. You know, he has this persona that he's, you know, easygoing, you know, what's the word, almost cool, chill, but he's a very determined guy. I mean, all I think about is sometimes when you look at the way he played the game, you know, broken noses. I don't know what other bones in his body were broken, and he still projected the ambassador to the game. But he was as dirt, as tough as they come, and I think that's the part that he's just keeping his opinions to himself. And I also think that he is probably at the pro level done with the game. I would think I would predict that, but things, I didn't think he was going to take the job in the first place. So sometimes what do I know, but I think he's had enough of it. And he's got so many other opportunities, more importantly, existing businesses that he can continue to put his energies into.
Arthur, I brought this up earlier on the program. You got then GM Place built back in the 90s for $165 million, if I'm not mistaken. There was no public money involved. You convinced your father to move the team downtown. When you look back on what you accomplished in your time with the Canucks, what is the biggest thing that stands out for you that you're most proud of?
I think there was sort of a series of events that took place somewhat simultaneously. One was the and not necessarily in this, well, they are in this order chronologically, and that is that bringing in Pat Quinn to put the franchise on a path of winning and being meaningful to the community was the first piece. The second, and it was literally underway, even though it didn't seem like it at the time, but it was a long process, as you said, to convince my father, the board, and kind of come up with a structure that was not public money, and then most importantly was the difficulty with building an arena in downtown Vancouver. So I would have to say it was a combination of those two things, which then, of course, when the building is opened, it was it's a legacy for the city as much as it is for the team. So I think that whether you're going to a concert or some other thing. So I think I look at it. I don't live far from it. Drive by it shortly on the way to work, and it's something that I have to take a. It seems like not my life, to be honest with you, but I'm certainly excited to think with my family and my friends that this arena is here for. And has been here for many years, including gold medals and Olympics and so on. So it's a tremendous proud moment in my life for sure.